I love
this is the time we talk about next season's TV and shit.
I love dead baby jokes.
I love dead baby jokes too, but there is a time and a place.
No. Okay, anyway. Yeah, sure, TV.
Yes, TV. You're the expert on fucking TV. Well, the only thing I know is, like I was saying, Mad Men.
Yeah, the problem is I really haven't been paying any attention to what's actually coming out next season.
Really? It's shit.
Yeah, I know that there's going to be a bunch of new comedies on ABC because I saw a promo with Ben from Lost and talking to the new stars of the ABC Wednesday or whatever night comedy lineup, including such luminaries as Kelsey Grammer and Courtney Cox and Julie Bowen, who I do love Julie Bowen, don't get me wrong. But
Julie Bowen.
What?
Who the hell is Julie Bowen?
Oh, you fucker. She was on Ed. She was on Boston Legal.
Yeah. She's
stunning.
I don't know if I'd go with stunning, but it's cutie.
Oh, have you seen? You haven't seen her on Weeds, have you?
I have not.
Oh,
I haven't
my
seen
God.
Weeds
oh,
since
her
the third
on
season.
Weeds.
I'm telling you, every fucking show that you're going to come up with, like Mad Men, I saw season one, and that was it. Weeds, I saw season two. I was watching season three, and I kind of petered out towards the end of season three, so I didn't see all of season three. I haven't started Breaking Bad yet. Anything that's basically popular, I haven't seen The Wire at all. You know,
you son of a bitch.
I haven't seen one fucking episode of Lost. Even Battlestar Galactica. I saw two Battlestar Galactica episodes, and that was about it. Like, I really have not... I'm not a TV person. I don't really keep up with TV. I don't know. I try to watch the shit that you tell me to watch because I know it's good and I know that we have
It's not all good, but I'll let you know when it's not. Like, I don't tell you to watch Grey's Anatomy, but...
Well, you said, like I know that shit... Well, yeah, obviously I wouldn't watch Grey's Anatomy. Rachel keeps up with that shit enough. You do get some good shit. I mean, like, obviously, with the Pushing Daisies was a good one that I should have watched, and I didn't.
It's your fault.
It really is my fault, yeah. Well,
you were that one other vote that made it not go on the air. Anyway.
I don't think it was me.
No. I know you're not a Nielsen house.
No, the farthest thing. What do you watch on TV?
And you're not paying for cable, so.
Shh, don't say that.
There's one show I'm actually interested in this, and that's coming up in the fall that's new, and that's, I think it's Flash Forward.
Yeah,
it's the new sci-fi
yeah.
show that might be taking over for Heroes in the mid-season or something. And that's pretty much only because, I only even know about it because the guy that, okay, last summer, there was a show called The Middleman.
Yes, yeah.
Which was fantastic.
Yes.
It was goofy, it was silly, it was fun. It was like a living cartoon, and I need to buy it on a DVD soon, and I want to get the new comic that's coming out. And it's by...
Hold on a second, though.
Oh, wait. Go ahead.
1 minute. Flash Forward is on ABC, isn't it?
Maybe I'm thinking of something wrong.
Flash Forward is the one where they see see themselves 6 months from now, and
yes.
everybody blacks out. That's on ABC.
Okay, that does look interesting. Fuck.
I'm gonna need
to Google something here. It's okay. The thing is, the guy that made The Middleman, Javier Grillo Marxuach. I'm not trying to pronounce his name. He wrote a bunch of Lost episodes. He wrote some actual comics, which are all right, pretty good. I follow him on Twitter. He might follow me. I don't know.
Excuse me.
You know who does follow me, though? Doug Benson.
Who? Why?
Because I want to. I answered a question. He followed me as a prize, but he's still following me.
Javi Grillo Marx.
Okay, hang on. Okay, it's Day.
Yeah, it's hard.
His new show is Day One. Day One. Flash Forward, I'm also interested in because I did look that up. It's got some good people in it. Day One. I'm interested because this Javi is involved in it. Julie Gonzalo from Veronica Mars and Eli Stone is the lead. And it's a sci-fi television series about apartment residents that survive an unknown worldwide cataclysm. I love the word cataclysm.
I am sold.
That destroys
that's...
modern infrastructure. It sounds like the premise for that Discovery show that I haven't watched yet.
The Colony.
Yeah.
Which Chris loves.
Chris loves. So I'm definitely... I've had them started to... I was starting to acquire them, and I turned it off before we started recording.
Huh.
But I'm definitely going to watch that. Oh, yeah. So Day One, I'm interested in. And Flash Forward, I'm interested in because of Dominic Monaghan and some other people.
Yes.
But aside from that, I don't know. I keep saying every year, I say I'm not going to watch anything new this year because I watch a fuckload of television. I watch a metric, I don't know, if a metric fuckton or imperial fuckton are bigger, whichever one is bigger, I watch that much television. The biggest fuckton you could find, let's just say that. And I watch terrible stuff like Private Practice. I watch Grey's Anatomy. I watch Ugly Betty, which I will defend to the ends of the earth because Ugly Betty is awesome. I watch good stuff, but I watch bad stuff. I watch everything. If it's procedure, if it's serialized, I'll pretty much watch it. I have a problem. So I try not to pay attention to the new stuff coming out. So I hope not to be intrigued by it. But there's already at least two shows I'm going to watch. So I don't know what's coming out in aside from what's coming back. I don't know what's new coming out in the fall. I've been all into the summer shows, but I don't know what's coming in the fall.
Okay. I bought a whole bunch of, like, I literally went out and bought a whole bunch of magazines and shit, like, reading up, like, what can we talk about next time? And I'm trying to be sort of kind of professional to make this at least I can do is fucking say something that someone will go, hey, I didn't know that. That's cool. You know, I don't know.
You take this way more serious than I do.
I feel really bad wasting whoever's time is listening or whatever. I feel bad wasting the time of whoever is listening to this by not saying something at least either educational or funny or scathing or stupid. I guess stupid. You can get stupid anywhere. You know, I want to be at least a step above the dude on the corner that's like, the apocalypse is coming and my hair is made of Jello and things like that.
You want to know what flavor Jello and when the apocalypse is coming.
The Julie Bowen show you were talking about, is that Modern Family?
Oh, I have no idea. I have no idea. Because the thing is, I saw Ben from Lost, who you don't know apparently.
What's the actor's name?
Oh, fuck.
Eric Stone Street?
No.
I don't know who the guy is. But
the actor's name is Michael Emerson. He was playing Ben from Lost, which is because it's an ABC show, and he was in this room and Kelsey Grammer and Courtney Cox and Julie Bowen were coming in.
Yes,
and her new show, it must be Modern Family.
Yes, that's what I was
it
saying.
It must be. I don't know anything about it.
Actually, they were for some reason they were playing previews of Modern Family before we went to go see 500 Days of Summer.
What?
So I got to see like clips of the show for whatever fucking reason, and they don't really know how to sell a show, and I don't think the show is going to be super. I mean, you'll probably fucking love it, but to me, I really don't give a shit. But they really sold me on it because at least they sold me on one episode of it. I'll catch something, whatever, if I see it, and maybe I'll. You know, find an episode on what the hell is ABC? I guess ABC has just ABC.com. They don't really do Hulu or any of that shit.
It might be Go.com, but
whatever. I'll hunt down an episode and watch it because I figure I might as well. Because they have fucking Ed O'Neill as a father in that show. So like, I love Ed O'Neill. I saw what was it, fucking like Dutch, and of course Married with Children, and everything anything Ed O'Neill's been in, I really will watch because I think he's a fucking good actor. I think he's a good dude.
I did see a promo for that show.
Yeah, see? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And also, the reason I remember is because they have, and I don't really know how to pronounce her last name, but Sofia Vergara, I believe?
Yes, she was in Knights of Prosperity.
She is a fucking beautiful woman.
Yes, she is.
I will watch anything that girl is in, or that lady is in, for at least a little bit to see what the fuck's going on, because...
What did you see her in?
I don't fucking know. She's hot. That's what I saw her in. Probably the internet or something. I don't know. Lords of Dogtown. I'm looking at her shit now. She was in Lords of Dogtown. Probably that. Big Trouble, definitely, I've seen her in. I don't know who the fuck she was in. I think I remember who she was in Big Trouble. I don't know. I saw her. She's
Ooh, Entourage.
Hot. I don't know.
Yeah, I know her from Knights of Prosperity mostly, where she was.
I don't watch Entourage. What the fuck's Knights of Prosperity?
It was a show. It lasted for almost a season with Donald Logue, who I'm the biggest fan in the world of.
Rightfully so. He's
awesome. Yeah. Ever since I saw the Tao of Steve, I loved him. Also, Maz Jobrani and Kevin Michael Richardson, Maz Jobrani is in Better Off Ted now, which is awesome, and Kevin Michael Richardson is a big voice actor. Big in both terms, he's a large man, but he was also he was Rampage and Transformers. He was in American Dad as Principal Lewis. He's done lots of voice work also.
Goro in Mortal Kombat. There you go.
There you go.
And Skulker on Danny Phantom. There you go. Okay, good to know.
Oh, she was in Men in Trees too. Oh, I loved Men in Trees.
Oh man, that see you could have just said he played Bill Cosby in The Boondocks.
No, he wasn't in Men in Trees. Sofia Vergara. Sorry, I made a slight detour again. She was in Men in Trees, but yeah.
Fuck it. You could say she was in anything. Like, yeah, she's the gray girl.
She was in Lost. She was the hero.
She was the fog monster from Lost.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, sure, whatever. The fog monster has a great rack. I'm all for it. But that, I think that was my reasoning for putting down the whole TV thing in the little email that I sent you, is because I want to talk about the fact that that's how you sell a show to me. Unless it's The Daily Show or The Colbert Report, I really don't give a fuck if your show is funny, interesting. I don't give a shit. I don't care. Most of the time, what will stop me dead in my tracks when I'm flipping through the TV is fucking a girl who is extremely cute or something that's fucking exploding. It's usually what catches, like, that's what got me on The Colony. I fucking caught a commercial of that as they were fashioning an oxygen tank to turn into a flamethrower, and I was like, fucking sold. I got to see this show. And then with Mythbusters back in the day, before they had Carrie to really stop me dead in my tracks, they had fucking explosions, so I was on board with that. I'm very simple when it comes to watching TV. I don't really care about watching anything in particular, like, you know, crazy or, you know, continuity wise. That's what turned me off Weeds, was I think Weeds kind of like went away from like a wacky, you know, show to like some serious continuity. Like I kind of lost it right when, and I hope I'm not ruining anything for anybody watching through Weeds, but when Andy went into the military finally. And was Andy?
It was Andy went to the military, yeah.
Yeah, like shit like that. Like
he was only in the military for like 3 episodes.
I know, but I don't know, for some reason I get kind of put, like, that's why I think Breaking Bad I'll give Breaking Bad a shot. The Wire is really daunting for me to have to watch that many seasons of something. That's what stopped me from watching Battlestar Galactica. Is because I really couldn't stop the spoilers coming at me. Like, I don't know if you're supposed to know who all the Cylons are, but I basically know who most of them are, and I haven't even seen, like I said, I've seen 2 episodes.
The upside of The Wire, aside from being one of the greatest things ever made over something like Battlestar Galactica, is A, it's good the whole way through, there's no weak points, and B, it's on HBO, so the seasons are only like 12 episodes long, as opposed to 30
or
something.
Yeah, but they're 12-hour episodes, though.
Yeah, but 12-hour episodes are still shorter than 22, 42-minute episodes.
Yeah, but I mean, whatever. It's still, I guess.
It is still a fair amount of television to watch. That is definitely
given. It's a daunting amount for someone that won't. For someone that won't commit to his own writing, it's pretty hard for me to sit down and commit to like a TV show.
You can. With The Wire, though, you can watch each season individually, take a break, come back. There's nothing ends on a real cliffhanger. It's like each season is fairly self-contained. They all play on each other and stuff, but each season is a sort of a self-contained story or chapter in this 5-chapter story type thing. It's they stand on their own.
That's why I've actually seen up until the last season of The Shield, because The Shield was another one. Like, it was a lot of like explosions, or at least gunfire, and decent. I'd say fucking good looking chicks. You know, I'm serious. And another thing too is that I can sit down, I can watch an episode of The Shield any season, with the exception of the last one, and I pretty much like, okay, it's going close. I know what season it is. Yep. I basically know what's going on. I kind of have an idea what's our, like, you know, where things are working towards. Vic Mackey's in a pile of shit, and he's gonna have to work his way out, and that's it. You know, I that's what I'm saying. Even Weeds got too fucking much for me. You know, like it got too. It's, I don't want to say full of itself. I think that's really condescending and kind of mean to say about a wonderful show. But fuck it. I kind of like to sit down and watch shit that doesn't have a whole lot of substance to it, because that's the kind of TV viewer I am. I will not sit down and watch reality TV. I hate that shit.
But that has no substance.
What I'm saying, it has to have some substance. Okay. And my bottom of the barrel thing is that it's got to have violence, explosions, gunfire, something along those lines, or it has to have fucking beautiful women. Because at least with that, I can kind of use my TV as a way to, like, shop around and be like, okay, who is that? Is she single? Is there a chance I have with that actress? Like, is there any chance that actress would wander into my living room while I was watching her show? And I could be like, hey, I just saw you on TV. And we would hit it off from there. You know, even though I am in a happy, wonderful relationship, I'm, you know, like I said, I always kind of watch, like, I know that things don't last forever. Rachel could die at any point.
Jesus.
I think that she would want me to be with somebody fantastic like Christina Hendricks, for example. But then I'm
Christina Hendricks.
Yeah, but then I'm lost because she's getting married to the dude from
God.
Super Troopers
or
from 500 Days of Summer. But go him, you know, way to go that dude.
That gives us all hope, though. If someone like him, someone like him, who's Jeffrey Arendt, he's not ugly, but he's not an attractive man in any way. He's an average-looking guy at best. He's goofy. He's weird. If someone like him can get pretty much the platonic ideal of what a woman should look like, Christina Hendricks, it gives hope to us all.
Yeah. Did she go blonde in Life, or was she a redhead still?
Still a redhead in Life, like in Firefly.
Damn it. She's a natural blonde, and I swear she is
what?
She is ruining it. No, I mean, she is there.
Wait, she's
like
a natural blonde?
She's a natural blonde, yeah.
I've never seen her blonde.
She's been dyeing her hair since she was 10 years old, and I know that because...
Oh, my God!
Yeah, see,
you
there you go.
Blown
I know
my
that
mind.
Because... Oh, I'm sorry. Rachel has approved in some way of Christina Hendricks. I'm allowed to like Christina Hendricks. I think that I'm allowed to... I don't want to say appreciate Christina Hendricks, but at least in the context of our relationship, I can say, here's a picture of Christina Hendricks. Isn't that something, you know? And not get fucking punched in the nuts. She likes her to a certain extent. Rachel Early hasn't seen her in a lot, but Rachel's all for anything where it's like, Rachel thinks that Christina Hendricks is a real woman.
Yeah.
So that, you know, that'll get me off the hook there, and I can kind of make comments about it. And like, I think what really got her on it was that from the moment when I knew she was a blonde from when she was much younger was, I guess, Cosmo or some whatever the fuck Rachel was reading. She was like, oh, that's that girl you like, and she kind of raised a magazine. It wasn't like, oh my God, here's that girl you like, I hope she fucking dies in a fire. It was like, oh, you know, like a nice little, oh, here's that girl you like, and she showed me the picture of Christina Hendricks, and I'm like, oh. And she read the little article to me and everything, and she was like, that's so terrible. Like, they have a whole thing with Katy Perry, but they don't have really anything with Christina Hendricks. It's probably because Katy Perry is like a bitch, and she's not really, you know, a nice person and whatever else, but Christina Hendricks really seems like a nice person, and she's very pretty, and she looks like a real woman, whereas Katy Perry doesn't. You know, I was like, yeah, fuck Katy Perry, yay Christina Hendricks, even though I really don't care either way about Katy Perry, but, you know, yay Christina Hendricks,
yeah.
Specifically. She, like I was saying, I of anything on TV, Mad Men really has, I'll watch Mad Men, I don't care if I'm fucking staying in the continuity, nothing really fucking matters Mad Men, if it's on TV, I'll watch it, because it's a good show,
mm-hmm.
Very good show, and it has Christina Hendricks, there you go. If I had caught Life when it was on, and it was the episode of Christina Hendricks, I would have watched it, also because I really like the dude that was in Life, the main character, because he was in from Band of Brothers, and I thought Band of Brothers was an excellent show, even though you didn't, because you don't like anything with war in it.
Exactly, so. That's why I didn't watch it.
Yeah. It's a good fucking show!
I'm sure it is, but I don't care.
Also, because it was a miniseries, that's another thing, like, with Generation Kill and Band of Brothers, and really anything along those lines, even, I'm trying to think of another episode, like another miniseries that's been on, but basically another way to get me is a miniseries, because if I know there's 6 episodes and they're going to tie everything up by the end of the 6 episodes, I'm all for it. That's why I think they should make Preacher and some of those some of the comic books that they're going to adapt, fuck it, make it as a miniseries, because it's too much for a movie and it's fucking not enough for, you know, a weekly show, you know, but definitely, like, that's why I really like British TV, because I really think that they, like, what they're doing with Torchwood, another show I'm not caught up with, but I really like that they said with Torchwood, like, we'll do 5 episodes, and then we'll do that, and then we'll kind of move on to something else, and I think that's cool. I think that's good for people like me that really don't have a fucking TV attention span. Saves me the time on Netflix from having to get, like, 17 discs to watch this fucking show. So,
missing so much. Do you still watch House at least?
No. Nope.
Oh my God.
I'm telling you, I generally don't turn on the TV until 11 o'clock at night, And then it's kind of a battle between, am I going to like read something on the internet or am I going to watch TV? So but I'm usually sitting there with the laptop and watching a Daily Show. I'm usually sitting there answering, commenting on Reddit and then watching TV when it comes to Daily Show and Colbert Report. So I've fucking seen Tosh.0, if that makes you feel any better.
No, it doesn't. But House has gorgeous women in it. Every week.
Yeah, I agree.
Not just Cameron. Have you Olivia Wilde's now on it, so...
By the way, as much as I like Sienna Miller, and I really do like Sienna Miller, because she was in Keen Eddie, which is an awesome fucking show, and fuck TV for not liking Keen Eddie, even though that I'm a hypocrite for saying it because I don't watch TV. I'm probably the reason that show got canceled. Keen Eddie's a good show. I like Keen Eddie. Another thing, too, like Keen Eddie was a great show for me because it got fucking canceled, and I was like, hey, I know it's one season. I could fucking watch that. But there's a music video with Alan Tudyk and fucking a bunch of other people for Funny or Die, and it's people singing. It's like all the different characters from G.I. Joe singing about what they do after they go home at night. And it had fucking, what's the name? What's the Scarlet? Yeah, Scarlet is the redhead from G.I. Joe. She was played by, fuck, what the hell's her name? The really pale actress with the red hair. She was in Blindness and fucking Trust the Man. And Julianne Moore. Julianne Moore was Scarlet. And
I never saw that thing. Alexis Bledel was in that too, wasn't she?
Yes, she was. Yeah, and Scarlet, the girl from House was in as the Baroness.
Cameron or Olivia Wilde?
Olivia Wilde. Okay. Olivia Wilde was the Baroness and fucking rocked it. For a 10-second or 20-second cameo in the fucking thing, she rocked it. And I think that fuck Sienna Miller, even though I probably won't go see G.I. Joe in the theater, I think fucking Olivia Wilde should have been the Baroness. Fuck yeah. I don't know. I think now that the movie's been made, I can say whatever the fuck I want about it, and really, I don't think it matters either way, but I don't know, whatever. I gotta wrap it somehow. TV has to be wrapped somehow into movies. If it's not about finding that pretty girl to watch on TV, for me it's like, how does this relate to movies? Which is another reason why I love Firefly, because it's like a show that's kind of contained. I got my episodes and on DVD, and then I got my movie DVD. So if I want to sit down and watch all of the ones ever made, sadly I can do it all and really in one sitting if I'm really ambitious about it. So I don't know, that's good for me. I got fucking no attention span. So the Muppet Show is only 22 minutes. So you know, if you're not doing better than Muppet Show, fuck you. I got the Muppet Show on DVD now. So,
but TV's like it's like comics in a way. It's you get the each dosage instead of like once a month, you get 32 pages. You get 1 hour or half an hour of TV every week. It's awesome. I love it.
But you should know better that I don't
TV. Like I know you don't read comics on a month-to-month basis anymore. And I still do, but I'm tired of having fucking single issues all over the place, so I'm ready to switch to either all digital or trades, but that's a discussion for another time.
Maybe next
but
time.
You don't even watch the DVDs, which are the trade paperback version of TV. You won't sit there with the 12 episodes of The Wire and watch that. You just said so before.
No! Don't fucking take my shit out of context here. I actually said that I wouldn't watch it because there's too much of it. If I can catch, like, that's why I said Breaking Bad is a perfect show for me because I can still pick it up and see the first season, second season, because I know I'll never catch it when it's actually on TV. So it really doesn't fucking matter to me. I'll just end up like, with House watching the DVDs a year or two after it's been on TV.
With a show
like Breaking Bad, it's not big enough. It's not popular enough. It's popular enough to stay on the air, which is good, but it's not popular enough that I'm reading spoilers in everything I read. Like, Battlestar was fucking way too popular for me, and I mean, rightfully so. It looks like an absolutely beautiful, wonderful show, and it's got fucking all the great actors and actresses and everything in there, and the stories are good and shit like that. Like, even to a certain extent, Doctor Who and Torchwood, like, I get way too many spoilers for that shit, and I can't really keep up with that kind of crap. I already know that Jack Harkness is probably the face of Bo, and you know, shit like that. You know, even though they probably didn't even make that in the show yet, you know, it bothers me a little bit. It bothers me that I already know the spoilers. That's the difference between that and comic books, because I really don't read enough. I don't listen to podcasts for comic books. I don't listen to anything for TV, you know, but I do read a lot of websites for both, and I really don't get a lot about comics, but I do get a lot about TV. People feel it's totally okay to just say whatever the hell they want about TV, much like we've been doing for the last whatever however long this is going to be. I think that the difference is that with comic books, I can pick a comic book up, even if I know the story. It's not like you're spoiling a whole lot. I think it's for some reason it's harder to spoiler harder to spoil a comic book narrative than it is a TV show, because a TV show comes out every week or so, and it's like a point to be like, oh my god, have you seen that? And way more people obviously read or way more people watch TV than read comic books. Flip that, and there you go. I really don't see the point in keeping up with TV in the way that you do, unless I can literally keep up with TV in the way that you do and watch it every fucking week and watch it live every fucking time, because I can't keep up with that shit, dude.
It definitely helps to work from home, but like, have you heard spoilers about The Wire, or are you just not watching it because you find it intimidating?
The Wire is solely because it's intimidating, because I know that The Wire would be an awesome fucking show, and that's another thing too. I don't work from home. I don't work from anywhere right now, and I really don't need another thing adding onto the pile of like, oh my god, you've got to fucking watch this. Especially considering like with like The Wire, I know I would watch The Wire, I would get addicted to it, and I would be doing nothing but watching episodes of The Wire all day long.
But it's done. Which eventually you're gonna be caught up. Like there's no more Wire ever again. There are 60 episodes. Same way there's 60 issues of Preacher. Or I think 60 issues of Why.
Yes.
It's you're done. You read it. You're complete.
I think you're making a good. I think you're right, but I'm still stubborn. So you know, I don't know. And another thing too is that with comic books don't take me an hour to read. You know, I can usually blow through a comic book.
Yeah, that's
pretty
fair.
Quickly. So you know, I can. And that's another thing too is that I think for somebody like me that's so information driven, like today this morning I watched Repo: The Genetic Opera, and it was fucking awesome. You should watch it. Yeah. Everybody should see it. It's a really good fucking movie. And Rachel thought it was weird, but I thought it was great. But I was Googling this sound and really Wikipedia-ing the song titles and who was who and like every like trivia about the movie while I'm watching the movie. Like I'm that kind of person that I need like the movie, and like I shouldn't say that I want to watch the director's commentary on everything the first time, but. And I don't always watch director's commentary, but I'm the kind of person that listens to director's commentary more often than not. I will listen to a director's commentary if it's a movie I love, specifically Kevin Smith movies. Every Kevin Smith movie I've seen the director's commentary for the most part. I think my copy of Chasing Amy doesn't have one, but for some reason, I love director's commentary. I really need to know all that little shit. Like I want to know why they did that scene that way, and I want to know this, and I want to know that. And that in and of itself is really spoilerific, if you would, because in reading the track titles and the song titles in Repo this morning, like I ruined the movie for myself because I know what's coming next, and I know that. Well, but that's the thing. I really like. That's why I am so intent on going to the movies to go see certain movies, because at least in a movie theater, people look at you weird when you're sitting there with your laptop on your lap, like, oh my god, what's going to happen next? What's that guy going to say? You know, whereas at home, I feel like I ruin it for myself. There hasn't been one movie in the last fucking like 3 years where I've actually sat down and watched a movie beginning to end and not gotten up and like gotten my laptop or done something else. Like I'm always doing something else. I'm always doing other things. And with a TV show, there's way more at risk, because I think with a movie, if the movie's good, like for example, like Downfall or even Repo this morning, even I tried to stay away from the spoilers. I kind of try to read around to like what I read, and obviously I can't unread. But with a TV show, if you know what's going to happen next episode, why the fuck are you watching it? That's what happened to me with Entourage. So many people spoiled Entourage for me, and so many people were like, oh my god, did you see what happened on Entourage? The show is not good enough to watch every time if you know it's going to happen anyway.
What? Okay. Two things. One, nothing of importance ever fucking happens on Entourage, ever.
Well, that's probably why I'm not watching
it anymore. I mean, it's not... I really enjoy the show, I do, but it's not a life-changing show in any way. It's not a brilliant show. It's not a genius. It's just, it's fun. It's light. So even if you hear what happens in that, it's still fun to sit down and see what the fucking gang are up to, what antics are going to ensue. Because that's really all it is to watch the antics.
With the back and forth between Jeremy Piven and whoever his assistant is at the moment, depending on what season you're watching.
Well, no, it's always fucking. Why am I totally drawing a blank on his name? Lloyd. Lloyd's always his assistant.
No, he's been the assistant since, like, what, season... The end of season two, I thought.
Well, okay, so Lloyd's been almost always been his assistant.
But not for me, because I really haven't seen it. I've seen, I think, the first four seasons, so for half of my entourage watching, Lloyd wasn't there.
Okay,
so
Lloyd is now a main credit on this in the opening, so he's...
I fucking know, I'm just fucking giving you a hard time, that's all. So what's your other point?
But even if, like, I know the ending, like, I know... that Rosebud is the fucking sled. I know that fucking Bruce Willis is dead. I know that Luke is his father, or Darth is his father. And none of that shit matters. It doesn't. You sit down, you enjoy the journey. It doesn't matter. Like, I watched and loved Apollo 13. I know they're going to land. I know they're going to make it. I don't give a fuck. I don't care.
Yeah, but
it's the same. Any spoiler is the same thing as watching Apollo 13. You know, the spoiler will just say what happens, but the joy, the fun, the entertainment is actually getting there and getting past there if it's a middle point spoiler or something. But no, I'm one of those guys that could not care less. Maybe not couldn't care less. I wouldn't say I wouldn't rather have it be a surprise, but even if I know what happens, it's not going to spoil my enjoyment of something at all.
Okay. I have an example that might work for you, might work for me, but I'm going to say it anyway, and that's Fight Club.
Wouldn't care.
Okay. I don't have a choice. I knew about it long before I saw the movie, and I hated it because, I mean, I kind of only had the second viewing. I didn't have the first viewing where I found out the twist. I only knew about the obviously what had happened and whatever, and the whole movie I'm sitting there like, what the fuck? You know, what about The Machinist?
It's been a while since I've seen The Machinist. I'm trying to remember. Oh no, I saw The Machinist a lot. Was not spoiled by The Machinist. Even if I was spoiled, I think I still totally enjoyed it. I've watched Fight Club a bunch of times since then. I love it every time.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's what I'm saying. I think that works for you better. But I think for me though, I'm in my honest opinion, I believe that I would have turned off The Machinist if I knew the ending, because it was a good movie, but I don't think it was good, and I don't think it had enough substance outside of the twist. I think that it was the whole point of the movie was building up to that moment, and if I knew the moment to begin with, I feel like the whole movie is just kind of like, I guess you could say, like bad sex. You know, like, you know, it was just going to be like, and that's it. You know, and what the hell? I mean, you can just kind of work it out on your own. You don't need to have that kind of shit going down. So. I don't know. That's just the way I am with a lot of stuff.
I think I'm more of a. For me, the big appeal of Machinist, like the plot was pretty good. The twist was pretty good. I thought Christian Bale in it was fantastic. I thought his character was fantastic, and I get a lot more juiced up and turned on by really good performances and really good characters than I do about the plot and the twists.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care as much about that as long as it's entertaining people and or at least entertaining to me. Like, I've gone on record multiple times saying Alien Resurrection is my favorite Alien movie, which I know I'm the only person on the planet who thinks so. But
what the hell's Alien Resurrection?
Alien 4.
Oh, yeah. Fucking... For a second there, I was thinking Alien Apocalypse, which was the Bruce Campbell movie for sci-fi.
Oh, no. No, Alien 4 is my favorite of the series.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I've only seen the director's cuts, so I can't...
Okay.
And I've heard, especially for 3 and 4, that the theatrical releases were way worse. But at least as far as theatrical cuts of all 4 go, or director's cuts, I mean?
Yeah.
4 is my favorite. I mean, it's, and I'm sure part of that is because it's the guy that did Amelie and A Very Long Engagement, and part of that is because Ron Perlman's in it.
Joss Whedon wrote the script, I'm pretty sure.
Yep, and Joss Whedon wrote the script. Yeah. I'm sure all that helps make it my favorite, and because I didn't grow up with Aliens, I can't go back and find that I have a hard time getting into that game over, man, game over, and finding that interesting and cool. It just seems hokey and ridiculous. And I can appreciate, like, I can appreciate that objectively Alien 1 and 2 are the better of the four movies. They are far more well made and far more well structured and all that stuff. But for me, they just don't, like, I've seen Alien twice. The first time I turned it off halfway through because I got bored. And the second time I made it through, but it was because I was like, I'm going to force myself to sit here and watch this whole thing. Alien 1 bored me to tears. I don't give a shit. I know it's really Scott. I know it's great people. I just, it did not, it never clicked for me, you know? And I don't, yeah. I don't care how, but I can tell from, because I can detach and see from sort of a somewhat objectively, there's nothing truly objective, you know, but somewhat objectively that I can see why everyone likes it and how well it was made compared to especially Alien 3 and 4. But
yes.
Just for me, that's why I always that's why I always trace when I say if I enjoy something or not. I don't say necessarily it was good, just that I loved it. I don't say, like, because I know that Alien 4 is not as good as 1 and 2, but for me, it's easily my favorite.
Okay. Yeah, I know it's an, I'm kind of in a hard spot here because I know it's an opinion. I disagree with you.
No,
but
everyone does.
I'm sure you know that. But I will agree that if it makes you feel any better, when I was 9 years old, I think you know part of this because I told you that when I was a kid, my mother would let me read whatever books I wanted, and I never, for some reason, as a dumb kid, I never thought to be like, oh yeah, I should go read The Hitchhiker's Guide or whatever. I remember like the most out there thing I read was A Wrinkle in Time, and that was an awesome book, and it still is an awesome book, and it's really good, and I just instead decided, since my mother wouldn't let me go see anything that was over PG,
you and your novelizations.
I would read the novelizations. So I have the novelization of Dumb and Dumber and like a novelization of like an X-Files episode and like all these like really like odd things that I wouldn't. Yeah, the one day I remember going to the library and reading the children's novelization of Alien. With pictures, like they had like Sigourney, like here is Sigourney Weaver. She is on she's on the Nostromo, and she it was so ridiculous.
See,
and
Ridley, run, Ridley, run.
Exactly, and oh no, and like it's about to get her. And, like, it was really bad and really made for kids. It was basically taking a really hardcore, like scary fucking movie and making it for kids in book form, you know, so not even like switching the media or the medium, but mainly just like stripping anything decent out of the movie and just making it straight for kids. Like aliens are scary and they found this egg and then the egg hatched and it hatched inside of a person, which is not where you want things to hatch if you want to have a nice day, you know, like the crew all noted that was very rude of the alien to do. Like, Gallant hatches outside of people, Goofus hatches inside people's chests. You know, like that kind of shit. Really bad. That's all I can think of when I watch Alien. I've never sat down and I've watched Alien front to back. I've never seen Alien in one sitting. It's always been like little pieces I catch. Yeah. I'll try to watch it on DVD. I'll watch it when other people are around, you know, whatever. But I will never sit there and watch the whole thing because all I can remember is that novelization when I was a kid. And a lot of movies are like that for me because of the fucking fucked up childhood I've had of watching, reading what I should have been watching.
I forgot about your novelizations.
That's why I will defend fucking child piracy to the death. Not the actual pirating of children, but the idea that anyone under 8, like, I understand that I'm now 24, about to be 25. I should have a job. I should be giving people money for things. You know, and I'm not, I pirate music and movies more than I should.
Yeah.
But I don't feel so bad about the movies because I have Netflix and I pay a decent amount of money, and I have paid a decent amount of money for Netflix. I still go see shit in the theater all the time. They're getting my fucking dollar. They're getting as much as they can with my current economic situation. But if you're under 18, you should get a free fucking pass on music, movies, anything. If you're downloading fucking Alien because you want to watch the fucking Sigourney Weaver movie version instead of reading the, you know, child novelization in your local library, I really don't fucking think that's a problem. And I really think they should lay off those kids because they're not going to produce people like me. And no, trust me, you don't want more of me in society. You really, really don't. But see, that's what I'm saying. Like, I am such a I am so much more interested in movies and TV shows that I can turn what should have been a serious discussion about next season's TV, well, as serious as we can be, into a discussion about movies. But mainly because I think that's what I'm saying. That's why I like movies. It's way harder. I have to hunt down movie spoilers because I think there's more of a social stigma attributed to ruining a movie than ruining a TV show. Because TV show is like water. It's mostly for free. You know, like obviously you're probably paying some sort of a bill in there somewhere for it. But for the most part, you're getting TV for free or, you know, near free. Whereas movies, you actually have to go to somewhere to see them, you know, or you have to like pay for Netflix or fucking go to Blockbuster or whatever. It's more of a process, you know. And also like movies tend to be more, I don't know. Maybe I'm backwards. Maybe you're right. Maybe it is more that if a movie is spoiled for somebody, they don't want to go see it. Whereas a TV show, they're kind of like, ah, fuck it. They ruined one episode. What's the big deal? It's not like they ruined it. And I'll just catch it next week, you know. But for me, it's always been if you ruin like one or two bad episodes will derail me off a series. Mm-hmm. Someone ruining an episode for me will derail me off a series. Certainly, like I said, Battlestar, knowing who the Cylons are, knowing what's going to happen more or less, it ruins things for me because, you know, it's also my fault too. Curiosity gets the best of me. I look things up, and especially because I read so much on science fiction that pretty much anything on TV that science fiction gets fucking ruined for me. That's where I like good stuff. I heard about The Middleman from IO9.
Yeah.
And, you know, bad stuff, I heard about all the fucking spoiler stuff for Battlestar, also from IO9. You know, so I have to keep in touch with those things. I'm so fucking obsessed with science fiction now, you know, that I pretty much have to keep my finger to the pulse there. And I'm willing to ruin a lot of shit because I do read way more books than watching TV. So, and I get a lot of information on books, sci-fi books through those channels. So, you know, cool. But anyways, that's kind of boring. I don't want to fucking ramble on about my science fiction habit. I mean, really, a whole lot hasn't. No, that's never a time. Because really, a whole lot hasn't changed from like being 9 years old and reading the novelization of Aliens, like what I'm reading now. Like,
I can't believe this is a children's version of Aliens. That's ridiculous. Or Alien.
But it's better. I left out the best part of the story, which it wasn't just a children's novelization of Alien. It was a series, or at least like a two-parter thing. Like the book was also the children's novelization of the Terminator.
What?
Exactly. It was.
So is C really run and then C John Connor run, or actually no? Is it still Sigourney Weaver in both? Oh, is it? Wait, no, no, it's Linda Hamilton.
It's Hamilton. Yeah. It is not John Connor. John Connor was in two, and actually, I think by the time I got to the point where I could see Terminator 2, I couldn't see Terminator 2 in the theater, but I'm pretty sure I saw I saw Terminator 2 at somebody's house or something like that, whatever. So, because I think it was right around the time where the big turning point for me was being able to see Independence Day in the theater, which was a complete fucking mistake. I was going to go see Mission Impossible.
They make me feel old. Not really.
I'm sorry, but and it doesn't make me feel old because I remember like being like, oh yeah, let's go see Mission Impossible. Like I don't know, 12, 11 years old, I think. I think it was like 11. I was 11 years old. I don't really know how to do, I'm not going to do the math, but it was somewhere around there. And I went to go see Mission Impossible with friends, and it was out of theaters or was not playing at the right time or something. And we went to go see this weird movie called Independence Day instead that had this fucking Will Smith character in it, who I vaguely knew from a TV show, because I really wasn't, again, like, even as a kid, really wasn't into TV.
Oh, you didn't watch Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
I do now, and okay. I have seen it since. Like, it was, that was something I picked up in college. Like, a lot of the shit that I know of now I picked up in college, because high school was kind of, like, fucking dry for me. Like, I didn't really read anything. Like, Anne Rice was big in college, or Anne Rice was big in high school because Matt read all the Anne Rice books, and like pretty much anything that, like, when I go over to Matt's house, we'd watch, like, fucking Hunt for Red October and Clerks and the Clerks animated series and shit like that. Like Family Guy to a certain extent, like, once we got out of, like, towards the end of high school, all that kind of shit. And then got to college, and then it was like, college was the education of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and fucking The Cosby Show and pretty much anything that's been good that's on, like, Sanford and Son, anything that's been, any good.
So Black sitcoms?
Yeah, Black sitcoms were big. I'm fucking serious. Like, for some reason, like, I was like, I think because in college I finally started, because I'm from, like, fucking rich part of, like, my parents live in a rich part of New Jersey, and I really don't, like, I was the kind of kid that moved there, and everyone was like, ooh, he's so dangerous because he moved from the ghetto, and I'm like, I guess the average income there was less than the average income here, but I really don't believe it's the ghetto. You know, it was more urban. It was more urban than where we moved than in eighth grade. But, you know, everybody was kind of like, ooh. And that's kind of where I kind of – that's where I call bullshit on a lot of the stuff. Like, when you're growing up, you really don't see a lot of the stuff where you're like, oh, my dad doesn't – my dad is pretty – he hates everybody. So it's kind of like, ah, damn Asian people, or like, ah, the blacks. You know, but not like I hate black people. Just like in – fucking my dad, you know, in a dad sort of way, you know. And it wasn't until really high school where I was kind of like, what the fuck, like, because all the black kids are friends with me and I'm friends with them because they're normal kids, and yeah. I don't know why I wouldn't be friends with them. And then more like, especially then we went to college, and I was like, what the fuck? Where has New Jersey been keeping all of our African American population? Where have all these wonderful people been? And I meet more people, and I got into more things. And actually, of those sitcoms, pretty much every single one of them came from a white friend. big drop there, fucking, you know, all of my black friends. What the hell, you know? I don't understand why I wouldn't come over to your dorm room and you'd be like, you haven't seen Fresh Prince? We need to get on that shit. Or like, what the fuck? No Cosby Show? You gotta get updated with the cause.
Were they pushing Three's Company on you instead? Or
I don't, from experience, I don't think any one of my friends has ever pushed Three's Company on me ever.
I'm just trying to picture something extremely white. That's all.
I feel bad saying that John Ritter is the epitome of white people.
I don't know what epitome is. It's the first sort of. This is a pretty white show. That was like Friends, obviously, is the. But that,
yeah,
that would
no
be
Friends,
that wasn't the right time frame for Cosby Show. That was well after Cosby Show and Fresh Prince. So that's why I picked.
But still, I think you're way more on target with saying that Friends is the whitest show.
Oh yeah, no, I know.
Friends is definitely like that. And
but
that's
Ross
thing, so
dated a black girl for a while.
I don't fucking care.
Oh, and an Asian. Ross is very multicultural.
Don't talk to me about Friends ever. Please, just, I don't even want to remember. That's why I don't like TV. I think now that we've come full circle, I can see now why I don't like TV. Because you were able to watch whatever the hell you wanted to. So you kind of, I basically had He-Man and G.I. Joe and Transformers growing up.
Awesome.
And the Ghostbusters cartoon.
Awesome.
And yeah, of course, yeah, and who could forget Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was fucking big in my house. Mm-hmm. I remember one year I went as a Ghostbuster for Halloween, and the next year was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And I think because I wasn't like strong enough to like carry the shell for the one year, so like I had to like have the cardboard power pack on my back, and then finally I was like, yes, I'm strong, like I can actually carry my own weight plus a plastic shell, woo, I get to be a Teenage Turtle now. Because I was a really scrawny kid, I'm a really scrawny adult, but whatever. So anyways, and I had that going, and then all of a sudden, like, for some, and Doogie Howser, and like a lot of good TV shows and shit. And then for some reason, I guess just because I got into video games and the internet and everything else, like, I guess there just wasn't any more room for TV. Mm-hmm. I kind of like dropped off the face of the earth when it came to TV. Also, because I think that TV in the 90s for a kid that was like 10 to 16 really wasn't the shit that was aimed at me. Like, Friends sucks, I think. Like, with the exception of Fresh Prince, like, I really don't know of any good 90s TV that I would have, like, really would have watched when I was a kid. Like, I guess Saved by the Bell, but fuck Saved by the Bell. It's really not that good of a show.
No.
there's really not a lot. There's nothing there that I was like, oh man, I gotta see this fucking TV show. Like most of it was Batman the Animated Series and like shit that was on fucking Saturday morning. Like I remember I watched Saturday morning cartoons well into my high school years. I mean, they were awesome. Pretty much all of them, as long as Paul Dini, I think, right? Paul Dini's the dude that did Batman the Animated Series. Whatever the dude, yeah. I think it's Paul Dini.
Paul Dini.
Yeah. Basically anything he did, even the X-Men cartoon. The fucking Spider-Man cartoon that wasn't really that great, but it was good enough. You know, like all that shit. I fucking love that stuff. And then I got into, you know, high school and just had nothing to fucking watch. Like Matt was really into Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and I fucking couldn't stand that show. I actually have a go-to story. I throw to every single time I bring up Buffy, which is that I hated Buffy when I first saw it because I thought it was so predictable and simple.
Was it the first season? Because it was pretty fucking terrible.
I don't know what it was actually, because I still don't know anything about Buffy, and I'm too stubborn to swallow my pride and watch it because I know it's probably a good show if I would pick it up. It's another one that I'm just like, ah, fuck it, whatever. I thought it was shit then, and I think it's shit now because I don't know any better, you know. But if it gives you any clue what season it is. Matt was telling me all about it. He's like, no, you don't understand. Like, this was during the time when we were reading the Anne Rice stuff. So he's like, it's just like Anne Rice, but cool. It's like if Anne Rice was younger and cooler and hip, and she could write for us, and she didn't use words like hip, and and it's a really good show, and there's kids like us, and they reference Scooby-Doo, and they actually do reference Anne Rice because she said like who the fuck do you think you are, like Vampire Lestat, like. And then all of a sudden, then fucking vampires show up and they fight, and it's a really good fight scene, and there's and this is good and that's good, and you know, everything's wonderful about the show, and then there's two witches, and the two witches are cool, and there's like Willow and the other one, and I was like, oh, I don't want to fucking watch no fucking lesbian witches be getting it on with the cauldron or whatever.
Four or five.
But here's my point of the story, which is that I attribute myself, whether it was me or not, and Matt swears that it wasn't me, but I swear it was me. That was before that happened. It was just that they were just two witches, and they weren't lesbians yet, or they were, and they weren't out on the show, yeah. And they didn't, like, in the continuity, nobody knew. Yeah. So, like, I slammed it, and, like, I was like, it's so predictable, like, I don't need to see some fucking lesbian witches be making out, or anything. Like, ah, fuck that shit, I don't need to see that, even though I love lesbians. The next week following that, it was the episode where, in fact, everyone finds out that Willow and the other witch are, they're Tara. Together. Tara, there you go. So Willow and Tara are together. And I just imagine Matt sitting at home and being like, he called that show predictable and said they were lesbian witches, and now they're lesbian witches! That motherfucker! That son of a bitch! He ruined my fucking show for me! Because, like, all of a sudden, Matt didn't think it was cool anymore. Like for some reason, like, it kind of petered out. Like, he wasn't really into it anymore. He really wasn't digging the Buffy. He never... After that conversation, he never brought it up again. He never tried to get me to watch it. And I was like, ha ha, motherfucker, I gotcha. I fucking got you. I called it. I fucking said what was going to happen on your show. Because Matt's much like me. If you spoil something, if you ruin one episode, I feel he's gonna get derailed. Because for the same reason, I know he stopped watching Weeds about the same time I did, because it was getting too much into itself, and like, I think he got upset with it because they were like making too much Iraq war jokes, and he was like, I don't need to watch this shit. I can watch The Daily Show if I want to watch the topical humor.
Yeah.
I watch Weeds because I want to watch, you know, weed humor, basically. Watch marijuana joke, like, see marijuana jokes. See fucking some dude be like, pot's so crazy and I smoke it and that bitch is hot, you know, and like things like that. So, you know, I don't know. I think I'm done talking about TV for now.
And since you don't watch any of the summer shows like Burn Notice or Monk or Psych or Bullshit or...
Wait a second. Wait. Don't say I don't watch those shows because you forgot something that I said earlier in this conversation. I said I would watch a show if it had what in it.
Oh, you much watch Bullshit. Oh, or Burn Notice. Burn Notice and Bullshit. Both. Okay, Burn Notice has
a
moderately attractive girl, but lots of explosions.
I think most of the girls on Burn Notice are very hot, and it has a lot of explosions. It's a very funny show. I think Burn Notice, and it's got Bruce Campbell.
Yes,
that's fucking what makes awesome. Yeah, he really does. Sam is fantastic. Yeah. He's a great character. I think he's the reason I stopped on that show. Not Gabrielle Anmore.
I'm not a big fan of her at all. She could die. Not her. I don't want her actual. I don't want Gabrielle Anwar to die, but her character could die. I would not give a shit.
be very specific, because I'm sure there's like a there's some sort of federal agent listening to this, like,
No, it's more.
He watches
it's
the
more
show.
The, it's more like the rape conversation of last time, being a little more cautious this time.
I don't know. I don't know. I think that maybe people would be way more scared if you'd say, "I'm going to murder you," than "I'm going to rape you." I think murder.
I'm not going to murder her. I just say I don't care if her character dies, because her character is fucking annoying. She's not very good at her role. I don't think she's very good at her role, and I don't find her that attractive, quite frankly.
She's good enough for my purposes. I mean, I agree with you. She is not Christina I think Christina Hendricks could be a way better in that role than she is, because I could definitely see some dude doing the kind of shit that Michael Weston does for... What the fuck's Fiona or Fee? I could see him doing that kind of shit for her if she was Christina Hendricks, because I'd be fucking like busting down doors and lighting people up if I was gonna go home to Christina Hendricks. And especially, I think there would be a lot more. For some reason, I feel like there's not a lot of chemistry between the two actors, like between the dude who plays Michael Weston and Gabriel Anwar.
No,
I don't know. I don't see it. So, but it doesn't ruin the show at all for me, because again, fucking explosions, hot women. It's got the Trump card, which is fucking
Bruce Campbell.
Bruce Campbell. Actually, mentioning that, now that I think about it, the only show that really doesn't fit into my like everything is Sunny. Sunny. Oh, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia is the standout show that doesn't fit into my typical like watching habits. It's a funny show. It's great. I fucking love it. There's nothing wrong with it. And they're going on tour. I don't know if you heard that. Fucking Gasp is right. They're taking Dayman on the road, or the Dayman Cometh is going.
No fucking way.
Four or five different. Yeah, they're playing in. The tickets are like $90 though. Like, they're really fucking expensive. No, I think I'm thinking of the Smodcast tickets. The Smodcast tickets are like $90. I think the Dayman tickets are like somewhere between $40 and $90.
I really
would want to go see that, especially because I heard they're playing in Jersey. I think they are going to play in Jersey. They might even play somewhere local too. And fuck, I really want to see that, but I don't think I got the cash to do it. But yeah, they're fucking. How awesome is that? You just fucking like, all right, we're done filming the last season, or whatever this upcoming season. That, obviously for them, it's now past. They filmed most of the episodes, I think, for it.
What's
and
the
then
Nightman
they're going to go
cometh,
on the road.
The Nightman cometh. Sorry, I'm distracted.
Excuse me.
I've totally not paid any attention to you whatsoever for the last little while. I'm frantically.
That sounds about right.
I'm frantically Googling to see where I can find out where this tour is happening and if they're coming anywhere near me. Nightman cometh.
I don't care what you're saying.
Fuck off! Shut up!
Back when you said something about reading a book about the alien movie, I just fucking said I don't care anymore. He doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. He doesn't even like the fourth alien movie. What the fuck's wrong with him? And he said Buffy the Vampire Slayer is bad. Who could hate anything Joss Whedon did? What a dude. He doesn't even watch Dollhouse. Fuck him. I don't have any reason to listen to this fucking douchebag. He doesn't even watch TV. Why the hell are we talking about TV? There's no reason to listen to this fucking shit.
Fuck off. Not you. Wait, more info here.
Well, that would be appropriate.
Looks like it's coming to Boston, Pennsylvania, Seattle, San Francisco. There's got to be more tours, more state, more points than that.
They might be adding more shit, because I know that they of something I read on Onion AV Club or something. I don't know, that's where they were going on and on about how they want to do a big tour and shit. And I think it's wonderful, and I think they're awesome people, and I think that they're. Really, I don't think they could do a bad thing with that show. I really think that.
No, I totally agree.
Even a show that I am absolutely in love with, like Dexter, fucking like I got a copy of an episode of Dexter from I guess Netflix or wherever the fuck I got it, and I brought it home and I showed it to my entire family and I was like, you have to see the show. The show is amazing. Much like that, much like the rape conversation or talking about murdering someone, you really don't want to show your family or anybody that show. Like, that's definitely a show that it's cool to be like, hey, do you watch Dexter? Oh yes, I do. It's fucking
speaking
awesome.
Speaking of Dexter and attractive women, though, Julie Benz is now single.
Really? She divorced or broke up with Michael C. Hall?
No, not Julie Benz is not is it was Dexter's sister who fell for but Julie Benz is the actual act like the actress playing his now wife, I guess. Oh
yes.
Oh God. We've talked about this, but when she first opened, like the first scene, like I never saw her. I didn't see Angel till after this, so I never saw her as Darla. When she first opened that door in the first episode of she was in Dexter. my heart stopped, my jaw dropped. Oh, fuck. Fuck. Fuck.
Really?
Yes. And still. Okay. I mean, I follow her on Twitter. She doesn't say anything terribly interesting, but I still follow her on Twitter. And just because I get to see that picture pop up every once in a while. Oh.
Oh, you're fucking ridiculous. At least I like girls that are fucking drop dead gorgeous. You're going for
Julie Benz is drop dead gorgeous.
Bullshit.
Fuck off, she is. Christina Hendricks is gorgeous and is sort, like I said earlier, the sort of platonic ideal of a woman, because she's sort of what you see, though. She's perfectly shaped and she has red hair, and God, I love red hair. And I know it's fake now, which has crushed me. But
what? I say it crushes me more because I like blonde girls. So, I mean, like, she could be.
Then
like,
why are we arguing? Then you, I'll take Christina Hendricks. You could take fucking Julie Benz.
Oh, no, you shut your hole. You shut your goddamn hole. No. But and I understand that saying that she has the wrong hair color is like checking into the most beautiful hotel suite you've ever been in and just being like, I hate the fucking curtains in this place. Like, just the curtains are the wrong color. So no, I shouldn't.
Well, the rug is the right color probably. So
yeah, well there you go. That's what matters. Fuck you. I think that's about it for this time, sir. I think we should wrap this one
sounds
up.
Sounds good.
Our sweet. Goodbyes.
Are you on Twitter, and my friend?
I am on Twitter, actually. Thank you for asking, sir. Are we going to do that? Are we going to say
whatever? We'll try at least once or twice.
I'm Mr. Balls on Twitter. Do I have to spell
that's
it?
Mr.
I
mean, Balls. Mr. That's not Mr. Full.
Yeah, Mr. Right, fuck you. All right. Is there
it's
really
not Lance
a
Corporal Balls or Dr. Balls or?
I know we're running over on time, but there actually is a story regarding that. I did something. I was originally started out as Mr. Balls, obviously, as a reference to I did something horrible to Matt, and kind of it all got worked up. So basically, a reference to Aqua Teen Hunger Force, Mr. Balls. I did something really good, and I forget what it was. And everybody in his office took a vote, and they upgraded me. I was promoted to PFC Balls.
I was allowed
to register the Xbox gamer tag of PFC Balls. I'm so fucking serious.
It was Matt that worked for the news clipping videos?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Right. I'll tell that story another time. I gotta, like you say, you gotta leave him wanting something. Yeah.
Or in this case, not much, but... So you're Mr. Balls, I'm twitter.com/gobo, but probably most people listen to this already know that.
Yes, well, yeah.
But whatever. This is probably,
it's IF Boyfriends, or what's the...
Internet BFs is
okay,
our
okay.
Twitter thing. Well, I'll give you the
you
password
fucker.
At some point.
Yeah, whatever. You cut me off. The point of the story is that I actually registered Captain Balls.
Oh, because in hopes of getting a promotion?
I thought I was due for a promotion, and as soon as Matt and everybody else saw that I had upgraded myself to promoted myself to Captain Balls, I was busted down to PFC permanently.
Why are you Mr. on Twitter?
I think that was pre-promotion. Okay. Because Twitter was before Xbox, and
fair enough.
That's how it worked out. So. And I never really, again, I think like switching my name on Twitter would be like changing my phone number. I don't see the fucking point in it. And I only follow my friends anyway, so yeah. Fuck it, whatever. And I'm sure all of you know that, at least now know, that I'm actually PFC Balls. So, but still Mr. Balls on Twitter. So, good night, sir. I'll see you next time, and we'll talk about something that isn't something I'm horribly disinterested in. Or something or other, I don't know.
We'll figure something
out. Yep.
All right.
See you.
Bye.